You may be seated. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Beautiful job.
Oh, good morning again. Welcome to Living Hope. If perchance this is your first Sunday here, it's great to have you with us. My name is Ron. Glad you chose to join us this morning. You know, what a good declaration in worship this morning and any morning, any day, any time, but especially this morning as we're thinking of some transitions. You know, we just prayed for Dave and Jan, and maybe if this is your first Sunday here at Living Hope, my wife and I, as of the end of the service today, basically begin a sabbatical. So we'll be stepping out of our ministry roles for 3 months over the summer. So there's a little bit of a transition going on there. But through all the transitions of life, through all the chapters, through all the changes, through all the ups and the downs, Jesus is Lord. He's got it. He's walking with us. Some of them are more pleasant. Some of them are less pleasant. Some of them are more challenging, some less challenging. But Jesus is Lord. So we declare that this morning. I just thought this morning I should remind you about the church picnic coming up. That's not really in my script, but that's another fantastic opportunity to meet people, to fellowship with people from Living Hope, especially if you're newer. I heard a rumor that the youth are going to be challenging the non-youth to a softball game. And when I heard that, I threatened to cancel my sabbatical to come back and represent the non-youth in the softball game. But I don't think I'll do that. I think I've got over that. But so keep your ears open for that. That might be happening. I think that's 2 weeks from now. So what, Michael? Be careful. That's happening, right, Mike? Is that happening? Okay. So as many of you know, Molly and I begin our sabbatical after today, basically. And so, I mean, we're excited about it. You know, you just need to know how much we love this body, how much we love being here. We are really going to miss you. We really are. We're not going to miss the duties. We're not going to miss the sermon preparation and the meetings. We're not going to miss that, but we are going to miss you. So Friday was my official last day in the office, and I came home and I told Molly, I said, you know, both Amy and Carol said they're going to miss me over the summer. And she said, well, you know, if they miss you, I'll take you back there a couple days a week, and you can just sit in the parking lot or whatever you want to do. My family is awakening to this reality that I'm going to be around a lot more over the summer. And as my daughter became aware of that, she said to my wife this week, can't we find him a job? So they're going to get a lot of time with Dad this summer, which is going to be okay. Speaking of my children, some of you may be wondering, they are not sabbaticaling with us. I know that's not a word, but so they'll be here. Chris and Carrie will still be here. You'll still see them. So they'll still be plugged in at Living Hope while Molly and I disconnect. Two weeks ago, I shared some thoughts about our sermon series for the summer regarding identity. And I just want to kind of give you my overview of that and some of the thought that went into choosing that and suggesting that while you all are going through that journey over the summer, that Molly and I, in a lot of similar ways, will be doing the same. So this morning, I wanted to focus on really what the other element of sabbatical is, and that is rest, and how we'll be going through this, as well as hopefully you will. We can start with this invitation that's on the screen behind me. Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. Now, it's probably important to clarify, first of all, that invitation is from Jesus and not from me. I'm not really intending for all of you to come with me to the quiet place all summer long. That wasn't really what I had in mind. It kind of defeats the purpose of sabbatical. But these are the words of Jesus when he says, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place. A little bit of background. I think this entire verse is in your program. Then, because so many people were coming and going, that they did not even have a chance to eat, he, being Jesus, said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." And we saw this pattern, this rhythm in Jesus' ministry. I'm sure it was much more regular. It's not always mentioned. Obviously, we don't have a daily diary of every single thing that Jesus did. But several times the writers even mentioned that Jesus was alone, or he drug his disciples away and said, we need to go to a quiet place. So I want to share just a little bit about this thing of rest this morning. Now, I have to acknowledge up front, there's going to be a challenge in this sermon. And here is the challenge, that while I'm speaking about rest, you are going to have a voice inside of your head screaming something at you. And here's what it's going to be screaming. It's going to be screaming, if my boss gave me 3 months off, I could rest too. That's what your voice is going to be saying, okay? So if you could just kind of quiet that enough, I still want to share with you some things about rest that I trust are going to apply to all of us, not just Molly and I in this particular sabbatical. I think you would agree that our society is growing faster and busier all the time. You know, I'm sure those of you who are non-youth for a number of years probably look back, you know, even myself. Okay, I'm in my 50s, but I look back at my teen years, no email, no computers. There wasn't overnight mail yet. There weren't fax machines. You know, even in the business world, if you signed a contract to send it to somebody, you put it in the mail and it would be several days depending where they were located till they got it. Now everything is instant. Everything's instant. Emails, you know, text messages, everything is instant. We expect everything instantly. And that has added a lot of busyness to our lives. So I won't ask you to raise your hands, but I have a hunch that if I ask a simple question, how many of you feel you are either busy or too busy this morning, I suspect we would probably see a good number of hands. I want to start with just some practical things, before we move into what hopefully will be some spiritual insight into this as well. I found a woman by the name of Carolyn Zwick on the internet when I was doing some searching for this, and she talks about good busy and bad busy. Good busy and bad busy. I'm not sure that she's a believer. I don't really pick up any like spiritual angles in this, but I thought, you know, this is helpful. This might be helpful just as a start. This is what she says. Good busy is when you have a rhythm and a flow to your day that allows you to be productive, inspired, and energized. Even though your schedule is busy, you have a good sense for your priorities. Still, you have balance and give yourself the time and space to unveil your true passions. You feel energetic enough to go after your dreams. People who are good busy are happier, more resilient, more productive, and more focused, and can therefore create the success they desire. That's her definition of good busy. Now, the following definition, of course, then is bad busy. She said this, on the other hand, a bad busy, on the other hand, is when you feel like you are tumbling, rushing, pushing, not breathing, and fearful of making a mistake. You feel overworked, tired, non-productive, and negative, which leads you to worry excessively, no matter if your schedule is packed or not. The problem is that your mind is oversaturated with shoulds and ought-tos that keep you running in the hamster wheel to you don't even know where. I figured it's my last Sunday to give a guilt-producing sermon, so I might as well take the opportunity while I have it to produce a little guilt in all of us. It is certainly myself that I'm preaching to this morning as well. Again, just a simple search on Google for the simple phrase, signs that you're too busy. Signs that you're too busy brings up all kinds of articles with, you know, the 7 signs, the 10 signs, the 12 signs, whatever. So I kind of condensed it. Some of these in your program, I don't think the first few are, but here are some signs you're too busy, okay? You're wondering if you're too busy. Number one, you can't remember the last time you took a day off. You can't remember the last time you took a day off. Number two, the most exercise you get is sprinting from one commitment to the next. You have your cell phone within arm's reach. You have your cell phone within arm's reach all day, every day. We have convinced ourselves that no one else would fill the gaps if we would slow down. That's a sign you're too busy. You're restless and fidgety even when you're supposed to be relaxing. You resent, judge, or look down on people who don't seem as busy and stressed as you are. Do any of you struggle with that? You look at someone who just seems totally relaxed with nowhere to go in a hurry, and you're like, what's their problem? Like, why aren't they doing something? So that might be a sign. These, I think, are in your program now. And this one really got my attention. It's so simple, so practical, but activities like eating are always done in tandem with other tasks. Let me ask you that question. When you stop to eat a meal, do you stop to eat a meal? Or are you multitasking when you're eating? You're eating with one hand and you have your other hand on your computer, or you're driving to your next meeting or whatever. Again, my last opportunity to produce guilt. So activities like eating are always done in tandem with other tasks. This one caught my attention too. You're consistently more tired when you get up in the morning than when you go to bed. Is anybody here? Does that connect with you? You're more tired when you get up in the morning than when you go to bed? The person that wrote that went on to say, one of the surest signs of an overloaded schedule is morning fatigue. This is a good indication that you've not rested well during the night, which is a good sign that you've got way too much on your mind. If you've got so much to do that you can't even shut your mind down when you're laying in bed, you're too busy. Here's another one. You dread getting up in the morning. Survival mode is your only mode. It's the only mode you know, survival mode. We have convinced ourselves that quality time is more important than quantity time. You've all heard that, right? I'm not sure who invented that phrase. I don't know that it's a good phrase. It might apply in a couple rare situations. But one of the signs you're too busy is you apply that to everything. Look, I don't have quantity time. All I have is quality time. So hopefully the 5 minutes with my spouse in the morning and the 10 minutes at the end of the day is going to have to cut it. And hopefully those are quality times because that's all I have. We've convinced ourselves of that, and that's a sign that we are too busy. This one really caught my attention. I think it's the last one on your list. Those closest to you have stopped asking for your time. Those closest to you have stopped asking for your time. Dads, little guilt-producing moment for you here. If your young child no longer even asks you, will you play catch or will you come to my game? Don't breathe a sigh of relief. That's not a good sign. That's not a good sign. If they're not even asking anymore, because that means you've conditioned them to understand that you never have time for those things. So it's not good. And that not just dads, any one of us in any situation, those closest to you have stopped asking for your time. I came across this one, which is kind of a segue, if you will, into what from practical advice into hopefully some scriptural / spiritual advice. A counselor once told a busy pastor, the Bible says those who won't work are lazy, but it also says those who won't rest are disobedient. Give yourself permission to rest. And he finished with this sentence, rest is just as holy as work. Do you believe that? That rest is just as holy as work. Come on, I get it. I wasn't born in Lancaster County, but I still feel, I wasn't raised either in Lancaster County, but I still feel like I'm a lot like Lancaster County people. My dad taught me a work ethic. Like, I love to work. I know what this whole work ethic thing is. And so before you too quickly say, yes, I believe that rest is as holy as work, I would just ask you, do you really believe that? You know, or do you feel a little bit guilty sometimes when you have nothing to do and this voice inside your head says, don't you dare sit on that recliner. You better find something to do. You need to be doing something. Rest is as holy as work. So that, of course, refers back to the rhythm that God created even at creation, when it says that in 6 days he did his work and then on the seventh day he rested. And this rhythm of Sabbath, one in seven, continues all through the Old Testament. We see it worked into the law in many, many levels about this six units, whether it's years, whatever it is, days of work and activity, and one unit of rest. Now, I know that when we talk about the Sabbath, there probably, if we took a poll across the room right here in this church, we wouldn't all be in complete agreement on the actual practical application of one day a week being the Sabbath. There are people that interpret the New Testament in different ways that kind of alter some of what was commanded in the Old Testament. I'm not saying in a negative way. There is some teaching on the Old, in the New Testament that addresses the Sabbath from kind of a new direction. Jesus himself seemed to be always getting in trouble with the Pharisees because of what they viewed as Sabbath violations. So whether or not you have been raised or have created your own conviction that one day a week is to be a time of rest or not, we can still embrace this idea of Sabbath. I would say very quickly, just personally, I was raised in a home where the Sabbath, Sunday for us, was pretty regimented, pretty strictly enforced. Like, I never saw my parents work on Sunday. You know, Sunday was the day we went to church, we came home, did something leisurely, whatever it was we do. Sometimes we go back to church again in the evening. And I am not a proponent of legalistic, rigid applications of such things, but I will say this. I believe I was richly blessed by being raised in that environment. And Molly and I have tried to create that in our own home, that we just take Sunday, that's the one day out of seven that we just set aside. It's a different day in our house. Do we still sweat on Sunday? Sure, if we play football or go on a hike or something, we do. But we don't treat it like the other days. I've been blessed by that. I hope my children have been blessed by that. So let's look at another invitation from Jesus. This is in your notes as well. The one we looked at behind me was in Mark. This one is a familiar verse as well from Matthew. Matthew 11, 28 through 30 says this, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Just stop there. It's pretty simple, right? Jesus said, "Come to me, and I will give you rest." So let's take note beyond just the practical advice that we can find all over the internet, talking about rest, talking about eating habits, sleeping habits, you know, relationships, all these practical things. They're all good. But notice that Jesus said it very simply, "If you come to me, I will give you rest." Let's not miss the connection between Jesus Christ and rest. Let's not miss that. If we miss that, we're missing a huge part of this whole dialogue. "Come to me and I will give you rest. I have a confession to make this morning. I've known this verse for much of my life. I've recited it, I've quoted it, I've used it in sermons. And you know, I saw something in this verse I never really stopped to pay attention to before." Don't you love when that happens? It's like the Bible comes to life again. It's like, wow, I never really thought about that. And this is what I saw. It's this next phrase where Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest." Here's that promise of rest again. "You will find rest for your body, for your souls," he says. "You will find rest for your souls." And I just never really lingered on that word before. Because here's kind of the heart of what I wanted to share with you this morning as we escape for our sabbatical, and hopefully to encourage you not only this summer, but every day, every week of your life. We can talk about external busyness. We can talk about your job schedule, your work schedule, trying to pay the bills, trying to, you know, do what the man tells you to do, you know, trying to keep your family running, trying to keep your mortgage paid, trying to keep the grass cut. I get all of that. We can talk about external busyness. But a deeper question, is your soul at rest? And by soul, a lot of times we say your soul represents your mind, your will, or emotions. Is your soul at rest? What is driving your busyness? That's the question I want all of us to answer, or to at least consider today, even if we can't answer it. What is behind your busyness? What is driving your busyness? Is your soul at rest? Could it be that it's not just that German work ethic? Could it be that it's not just that? Could it be that it's not just a drive to pay the mortgage or to get the next promotion? Could it be that it's more than that that is driving your busyness? Okay, guilt production again. Here we go. You ready? Could it be that when you slow down enough to rest, you're not comfortable with the person you're resting with, meaning yourself. There's something internally inside of you that just doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel at peace. It doesn't feel at rest. And you've learned over the years the way to push that emotion down is through staying busy. As long as you're busy, you're preoccupied, you have your mind engaged elsewhere, you don't have to think about that painful situation, whatever it is. Whatever it is, you'd have to fill in that blank. If the marriage isn't good at home, working a lot of extra overtime might help you avoid some of the tension in the house, but it's not addressing the marriage issue. It's only covering it over. If you go to the ER, you've cut yourself doing whatever, gardening this time of year, you have a cut in your arm, and you put a small Band-Aid on it, and you go to the ER, and you know, there's blood kind of oozing out underneath the Band-Aid, and you can tell it's pretty serious. You know what they're going to do at the ER? They're going to get a bigger Band-Aid and just cover the whole thing so you can't see it, right? Of course not. They're going to take the Band-Aid off, and they're going to get a good close look at that wound, and they're going to determine what's necessary. Maybe it just needs to be cleaned out more. You might need a stitch or two. You know, who knows what it is. They might even do an X-ray if they think you've broken a bone. We can use busyness to cover over. Busyness can be a Band-Aid. Busyness can be a Band-Aid. So it could be that the root of your busyness is that you don't like who you are when you really rest. It could be you're trying to prove something to someone. There are stories of people who spend their entire lives trying to please a father or a mother who's not even living anymore. And they're driven to prove that I am not the failure my dad said I was, or I will show him that I can succeed in business or in ministry or in paying my bills or whatever. There are people who do that. Busyness can also be an attempt to fill a void, some type of void in your life. Is this enough guilt producing? This is like a lot of guilt producing today, right? So the question is your soul at rest? Even when your body is at rest, is your soul at rest? Because some of these other internal things create turmoil that the way that we deal with them is just a lot of external busyness. So if we're going to talk about rest, we should talk about the soul. And look at this beautiful promise that Jesus gave us, that you will find rest for your souls. Jesus isn't just interested in your cardiac condition. He's not just interested in your diet. He's not just interested in your blood pressure. Those things are all very important. Don't get me wrong. Do be concerned about the condition of your heart and your diet and your blood pressure. But Jesus wants to go deeper than that. He says, I want to give you rest at a soul level. I want to give you rest at a soul level. Let's go on now. Those were two promises from Jesus. The next thing in your notes is a declaration from Jesus. This is in his prayer right near the end of his life. John 17. Some people call it the high priestly prayer, where Jesus says this to the Father in his prayer. He said, he's speaking to God, I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. Now, another one of these verses we just kind of read across. But, you know, as I was reflecting again on that this week, you know, I think we could say there was a ton of things that Jesus did not accomplish while he was on the earth. A ton of things. I don't think he healed every single person all around Galilee and Judea and Samaria. I don't know that he did. There were specific times in Scripture when he was, like, people were coming from everywhere to be healed. And Jesus said to his disciple, okay, we're out of here. We're going somewhere else. They're like, there's all these people waiting to see you. He's like, no, we're going somewhere else. I need to go and teach elsewhere. Jesus focused on what the Father gave him to do, on the work that the Father gave him to do. So here's one suggestion that comes out in this rest focus from this statement. Burnout, which of course is kind of the end of busyness, we get burned out. Burnout may come from being busy with things that God has not called us to do. We've put things on our to-do list that God is not putting on them. And therefore, our busyness is taxing. It is depleting the soul. It is making us weary. to a level that God never intended for us to be weary. So that's that declaration from Jesus. I just challenge you with that, completing the work that the Father gave him to do. What's the work the Father has given you to do? Would you believe me when I say I guarantee if you commit yourself to the work that the Father has given you to do, while you may be busy, your soul will be at rest. Do you believe that? Your soul will be at rest. You might have busier seasons, you might have slower seasons, but if you're trying to the best of your ability, and I know it's just this journey that we're all on, of living your life under the direction of the Holy Spirit, under the leading of the Father, and saying, I want to give myself fully to the things you tell me to give myself fully to, and I'm also going to say no to the things you tell me to say no to, you will be at rest. Your soul will be at rest. One more scripture. One more scripture yet. This is a plea from Moses. A plea from Moses recorded in Psalms. It's in a prayer. Psalm 90, you may recall, where Moses has this very eloquent way of saying that, teach us to number our days. Teach us to number our days. Moses is kind of looking at the lifespan of a man. But he goes on to say this, may the favor of the Lord our God rest upon us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. I love that phrase. I love that language. And what I always take away from that, what impresses me as I read those phrases, establish the work of our hands, I would suggest another reason for burnout. My first one was you are giving your time and energy to things that God has not called you to. That's number one. Number two, I think, that would tie into this verse is you are giving yourself to the things that God's called you to, but you're doing them in your own strength. You're trying to make them happen on your own. That causes burnout. That causes stress. That causes your soul not to be at rest anymore. When Moses says, establish the work of our hands, I think it's this beautiful picture of our hands being busy serving the Lord, but we know every step, every moment, that anything good that comes out of the labor of our hands is going to be because God establishes it. In his way, in his timing, in his order, whatever that is. So I would encourage you, with me, to make that a regular part of our prayer life. God, establish the work of our hands. Step one, show us what it is we're supposed to be doing. And then step number two, help us to do those things with your help and with your empowerment and not by our own strength. That's called striving. And that takes rest away from your soul when you're striving, because you get frustrated. And why isn't this working? And I thought God said I'm supposed to launch this ministry. I'm supposed to witness to that neighbor. I'm supposed to do some certain thing with my spouse. You know, we're going to bring health to our marriage. We're going to pray for our kids more, whatever it is. And then we start striving to make things happen, and then we just get frustrated. So another reason for burnout may be doing things that God calls us to do, but doing them in our own strength. So I would just repeat the invitation that's on this back screen again. Jesus saying, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. Now, is that voice still screaming in your head? Ron, if I had 3 months off, I would be able to get some rest, but I don't have 3 months off. What could you do this summer to take kind of this whole idea of sabbatical, this whole idea of just getting rest? What could you do intentionally this summer? Be creative. I wrote down just a few things very quickly, and here we go. How about a little bit more guilt production yet? I'm running out of time. I got to get as much guilt production in as I can. How about a fast from social media and the news? Now just calm down. Maybe for a day. Maybe take a Sabbath on social media. Maybe it's a weekend. Maybe it's your family vacation, no social media. Maybe it's mealtime, hello. What things could you do that you would be taking an intentional step that we are going to introduce, or I'm going to introduce some windows of rest in my life? Okay, what about a vacation during your vacation? Now, I know people vacation differently. Molly and I tend to vacation at a pretty slow pace. I know some people vacation at a fast pace, you know, a lot of activity, going, and then when you come home, you're exhausted. Why are you laughing, Lois? What's funny? They just got back from vacation. We'll have to see whether they're rested or not. What if you would, on your vacation, if you take a vacation this summer, if you go for a long weekend or maybe a week, what if you would try something like picking one day of that whole week and say, okay, Dad, this is your day. Mom and the kids are going to go do whatever they're going to do, but you just go take a walk, sleep in if you want, do whatever it is, just be quiet. Spend some time with God. Not some heavy thing where you got to read, you know, 400 chapters of the Bible today. No, just take a walk. Listen to God. Just spend some quiet time, some restful time. And then take another day, maybe for Mom to do the same, or just be creative. How can you put a vacation in your vacation? What about a weekend set aside for rest at home? From the moment you walk in the door from work on Friday evening to the moment you walk out the door to work on Monday morning, you will not work. No laundry, no cleaning, no cooking. You can save up for eating out, or you can make your meals ahead of time, so you just pull them out of the freezer and put them in the microwave, in the oven, whatever. Like, what would that look like? Some people are laughing. They think that's funny, apparently. What would it look like? A weekend set aside just for rest. Be creative. You know, let's not, Molly and I, be the only ones on sabbatical this summer, okay? Be creative and ask God, what are those little windows of rest? So, to close this morning, I would just challenge you that the most life-changing rest or times of rest in your life are not the big blocks, but they are the regular, daily, whatever pattern it is you have. If you go like crazy and then take a whole month off, yes, the month will be glorious, but if after your month you go back to just the go again, you're not going to get nearly the benefit. And this is where you can hold me accountable, because I'm sure God will speak to me and to us about our schedules on sabbatical. Not our schedules on sabbatical, but our schedules, our normal routine while we're on sabbatical. And just evaluate again, you know, how many things do we give ourselves to? Are there things that God is not calling us to give ourselves to? Things we need to slow down, change our priorities. So for you, everything's been guilt-producing this morning. Let me encourage you just to say, if it's just maybe 10 minutes, 15 minutes in the morning, if you could get up just a little bit earlier or stay up just a little bit later, whatever works in your rhythm, if it's a block during your lunch break where you just become intentional, say, I'm just going to take 10 minutes and I'm going to pray, I'm going to read the word, I'm going to take a walk around the office, I'm going to do whatever, you know. These little regular times that you schedule in your day can really help in that process of bringing rest to your soul. And remember, rest to your soul comes from Jesus. You can exercise all you want. You can change your diet. You can get more sleep. If something's not right in your soul, your exercise routine won't address that. Your exercise routine will address your body. It'll address your physical condition. And maybe your heart will get healthier. That's wonderful. Do that. But the unrest in your soul has to be dealt with Jesus, because he said clearly, I will give rest to your souls. Let's pray. Father, on this theme this morning of rest, we are busy. We are busy. And perhaps many of us would have to admit that we're probably too busy. We value productivity. We value getting things done. We get caught up in this going here, going there, always on the move, always something more to do, always a to-do list that needs our attention. And God, Jesus invites us to come with him by ourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. And God, I pray you just speak that to each of us, not in a guilt-producing way. This isn't about guilt. Guilt is not effective. But God, we do want to hear the conviction of your Holy Spirit. We want to hear your voice. God, would you shine your light this morning on areas of our life that you just want to say to us, look, that's out of control. It's overboard. It's too much. Whatever those areas are, God, I pray that we would open ourselves to that. We would hear your voice. And we would have open and honest dialogues with you and even with each other, with our spouses, with our family where it's necessary, with other people in our lives, regarding any unrest at the soul level, any unrest in our emotions and in our mind and in our thoughts. And God, we know that will lead us then also to our spirit and just our relationship with you. God, I pray that this would be a summer of rest for Living Hope, that we would be active, doing what you've called us to do, but we would do it in a restful way because we know, number one, you've called us to do these things, and number two, we're doing them by your strength and not our own. So help us to rest. Father, help us to rest. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right. Well, as we wrap up this morning, I wanted to just take a few moments to draw a picture for you, if you will. Not actually drawing, not actually using an easel or anything, but to kind of paint a picture of leadership and this whole sabbatical thing and Molly and I leaving for the summer. So this is a staff, of course, and to many, this is kind of a picture of a pastor, okay? A shepherd, that's a good term. I embrace that term. A shepherd of a congregation, so you see a person, a lone, single individual holding this staff. And so I want to repaint that picture a little bit this morning. So at this time, I'm going to ask my wife and then the elders and their wives to come up and join me on stage. Come on up. So you guys can just sort of line up behind me here. Come on up. And then, Dave, I'd like you to join us. Now, these are our elders and their wives. I think you know them. Joining us on stage now is Dave Whitmer. Many of you know Dave. Dave is our overseer here. If you're new here, you may not have met Dave before. Living Hope is part of a network called HopeNet, and Dave is our overseer. So Dave is one that I meet with regularly, and he gives oversight and counsel. He's involved if we have questions and things at the church. So Dave's involved with that. So then now I'd also like to have Mike and Claudia come on up and join us. Mike and Claudia, of course, oversee our youth ministry. Mike is full-time on staff here. They are deeply involved in the lives of our students and with their families. And now I'm going to ask a few more people that some of you aren't even aware that I'm going to ask you to come up. Just relax. I'm not going to make you say anything or do anything. I just want you to come up and help paint this picture, okay? So Amy Wenzel, I'm going to ask Amy to come up. And Clyde Smith, I'm going to ask you to come up. I promise I won't embarrass you. And Kayla Schindel, would you come up, please? I want to paint a picture here. Rather than the shepherd holding the staff like this, I'm going to hold the staff like this, okay? Now, Mike Richard, come over. Stand over here on my left. Mike, of course, on staff full-time, working with youth ministry. Amy, come and stand next to me here. What's so funny? What did he just do? Huh?
Because we're staff on the staff.
Oh, that's funny. That's funny. You would have thought I would have thought of that. It wasn't a pun. I totally missed it. Okay. Amy works in the office. Amy with Carol are a very important part of the glue of leadership around here. Carol's not here this morning, but Amy is kind of representing them. And then where did Kayla? Come on, Kayla. You come up and stand next to Mike and Glenn. Where did Glenn go? I'm sorry. Clyde. I'm sorry. I said Glenn. Come on over. Get on the end here. Both Clyde and Kayla are life group leaders. Now, if we try to get all the life group leaders on the staff, it would need to be about 30 feet long. But I'm painting a picture of leadership. See how many people are on this stage? It's not just me. There are a lot of people on here. There's people in ministry. There's people that are serving in administrative functions. We have life group leaders. We have elders that are surrounding this group. And then we have our overseer who is involved with all of that yet. So when you think of sabbatical, rather than thinking, oh no, Ron and Molly are leaving, what are we going to do? They lead the church, yada, yada, yada. And I don't think that many of you are thinking that way, but in case you are, I just want to adjust the picture a little bit, okay? So Molly and I, for a brief season, we step out of this role, and then Jay, one of the elders, is stepping in as the lead elder for the summer. Again, he is not serving, and I mean, he's not filling all my responsibilities. But there's a lot of, these are good people, folks. You know that. These are good people. So you are in good hands. You're in good hands for the summer. So to this group, I would give you this first a scriptural exhortation from 1 Peter 5, 2 through 4. Be shepherds of God's flock. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers. Sorry, Dave, just using that in a general term. Serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not greedy for money, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. So I could condense that whole scripture very easily by saying this: just keep doing what you already do. Just keep doing what you already do. You love this body, you serve this body, you hear God, you follow him, and I have absolute confidence. I'm telling you, when we start a sabbatical, I will not sit at home and worry about Living Hope. I won't worry about what's happening. Is something bad going to happen? And the reason I don't is because of the people that are on this stage and a lot of you out there that, again, we didn't have room for everybody up here. So, but I wanted you to see this picture of shepherding, this picture of leadership, because these are the ones that continue to minister just like they do right now. So I just want to pray for you guys. I just want to pray for you. Elders, why don't you just come in and kind of gather around these? I know we're running out of room here. Molly, why don't you come over here with me? And then, So Father, I thank you for the men and women that lead Living Hope Community Church. On so many levels, God, the stage isn't big enough for everybody. Those who are serving right now, as I pray, in children's ministry, ministering in the lives of our students, the other life group leaders who are not on the stage, the worship team, the entire worship team that serves each week in that crucial way. Ushers, greeters, cafe, again, so many people that make Living Hope or that are used by God to make Living Hope what she is. I thank you for each of them. God, I pray your blessing on them over the summer. I commission them in this role. God, that they would hear you well as they do. They would continue to do that. They would serve you faithfully. Their heart is for the body. I know that it is. I pray you would bless them in that. And God, just use them mightily this summer. Bless them richly. God, and I know that the body will support them with their prayers and with their encouragement. And God, we are looking forward to all you want to do this summer, not only for Molly and I, but for the body, the things you want to speak to us, the things you want to bring to life through some of these unique giftings that are going to be stepping into the teaching roles and other roles over the summer. God, we just give this time to you, this season to you. And again, I release these men and women of God to serve you as they are already doing, to serve you faithfully this summer. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
On behalf of the elders, I consider an honor and a privilege to just spend some time now praying for both of you, for Ron and Molly. Why don't we go down to the center, and what we want to do is gather in the center, and as many of you as possible can just maybe move toward the center and extend your hands as we pray for them. Yeah, again, if everyone can come toward the center as best you can. I know not everyone can get in here, but It's just been a real privilege for me as an elder to serve alongside of Ron and Molly for the last 3 years, and along with the rest of the elder team, I know that I speak for them as well. We just so appreciate the way that both of you poured your heart and soul into Living Hope and the ministry here and serving the way. So again, I just count it a privilege to just be able to pray for them this morning on behalf of the elder team. God, I thank you for Ron and Molly. I thank you for the giftings that you have placed within them. I thank you first and foremost for the calling that you have placed on their lives to serve here, for Ron serving in the leadership role here for the last 12 years. God, thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your gifting and empowering in his life, in Molly's life as they have served together. And God, it is with joy, and it's also with just a sense of gratitude that we can release them here during the summer months for this sabbatical. God, you have been faithful, and you have prepared us for this point in time, for this season. You have been there for us as a leadership team as we've worked hard at preparing for the summer. And God, now we release them to this time of rest. Even as Ron shared this morning, I pray that you would allow them to find rest for their souls. And Father, I pray in Jesus' name for them in every aspect of this summer, that they would be restored in their hearts, in their souls. I pray that you would reignite the passion and the vision, the purpose, the sense of destiny that you have for them. I pray that you would bring those things into sharper focus, those things that you want them to be doing, those things that you want them to cease doing in the fall. I pray that you would bring clarity to each of those areas. And Father, I pray that they would find a peace in that rest. And even as Isaiah 30 says, that in quietness and rest is your strength. So I pray that over them, in quietness and in rest this summer, they would be restored in your strength. They would be reignited with your passion and with your purposes for their lives. So Father, we bless them as an elder team. We bless them as a body this morning. And we release them to all that you have for them this summer. God, they are your children. Ron is your son. Molly is your daughter. And so, Father, you are faithful. And we commit them to you. And we release them for this time of rest. In the name of Jesus, amen.
So after about 11 years of service without a break such as this, one can kind of feel like, did I work hard enough to deserve this break at the end of 11 years? We tend to think of it that way when we go to bed at night. We worked for a long day, and we end our day with sleep. It's time to get some rest. But actually, the biblical worldview is slightly different. When you start with Genesis chapter 1, you hear this pattern that in the evening and the day were the first day. The evening and the day. By the time you get to the institution of the Sabbath, the festivals, the Day of Atonement, you'll notice that they all begin at sundown to sundown. And you get the pattern in Scripture that God's day begins with sleep. That actually, 8 hours of sleep, which is an interesting human phenomena, is it not? Because at this very moment, about a third of the world's population is unconscious. Kings, prime ministers, Congress, even villains are unconscious. Evolutionists have not been able to explain why the human mammal needs a third of its day to go unconscious to survive. But this, it's built in, and it seems to be the scriptural pattern that the evening begins the day. So while we might look at the sabbatical to say it's well-deserved after 11 years of service, go have a good rest, the biblical worldview would suggest this is the beginning. So prophetically, we just declare, this is the beginning. You are resting for the day ahead. And what you all will be doing in your study of identity and who we are in Christ this morning is the beginning of the future. So the rest is the beginning. This past Wednesday, I was working alongside little five-year-old Liam Webster, one of the sons of one of the other pastors. And he was diligently sweeping up dirt on the floor, and he was just kind of chanting, "We must keep up the good work. We must keep up the good work. We must keep up the good work." So that kept me painting, you know, just keep up the good work. Pastor Dave, keep up the good work. So, and then he said, "And then we'll get tired. And I said, "Well, then what happens next?" And he said, "Then we go to sleep." And I said, "And why do we go to sleep?" He said, "So that we have energy for the work of tomorrow." I think he got it, didn't he? That was pretty good. I asked him, "Can I quote you on Sunday?" And he said, "What did I say?" "You said I can eat chocolate." Oh, no. So as a final prayer for the morning, let's pray prophetically for what's ahead. So, Father, this begins an evening. This is now the evening rest that you've ordained for the work of tomorrow. So I pray that you bless Ron and Molly with the study of your word, not to produce a sermon, but to enrich their life. And they'll continue in prayer and intercession, but not just for church agenda, but for your agenda and in a much bigger picture. They'll continue to worship with the saints, with other people, to be refreshed for the work for tomorrow. So, Lord, we look ahead to 2017 and 2018 and beyond and say, refresh us so that in September we are awakened with the dawn for the work of tomorrow. Do the work in the body. Do the work in Ron and Molly. They'll prepare us and prepare this congregation for the work that you're going to unfold for tomorrow. In the name of Jesus, amen. God bless you. Dismissed.